This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Dalby Banks Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
This month in the news, how a supernova becomes a hypernova. At the dawn of the cosmos, the first stars ignited from the quiescent clouds of hydrogen that filled the universe. These first stars would be almost entirely made from hydrogen gas, and compared to the stars of today, were enormous, easily reaching hundreds of times the size of our own sun in terms of mass. What allowed these monster-sized stars to form was the lack of metallic elements in the very beginning of the universe. The difference between metal-rich and metal-poor star-forming clouds are that the metal-rich clouds are able to more rapidly cool the gas which they contain. This means that when new stars form from the gravitational collapse of the gas within a nebula, the point at which the nuclear fusion of the new star begins, which is also the point at which the new star stops growing, is earlier for the metal-rich nebulae than in metal-poor nebulae. This results in the present universe, where the largest star that can form is up to 100 times more massive than the Sun, but no larger. What happens then to stars that are more than 100 times more massive than the Sun? Finding out by direct observations of such stars is almost impossible, since it was about 6 billion years ago that the universe became too metal-rich for them to form. So, any which are potentially visible will be within extremely distant galaxies. However, we have observed the unique supernova explosions which occur upon their deaths, known as pair instability supernovae, which are over 100 times brighter than any other kind of supernovae, and are also sometimes known as hypernovae. Models of stars can tell us more about the processes that lead up to these hypernovae. First, the star begins as almost entirely hydrogen. Over time, this hydrogen is converted into helium via the fusion processes that light up the star. Once all the hydrogen is exhausted, the star has a moment where it no longer has enough energy pushing out from its core to hold up its enormous mass, so it begins to collapse towards the center. The act of collapsing heats up the now helium-filled core of the star until the helium can begin to fuse and stop the collapse of the star. Eventually, though, the helium is also exhausted, and it is at this point that the star rapidly begins travelling along the path to going supernova. First, the core stops fusion again. The star's outer layers fall inwards to the centre, and again, the core heats up. However, this time, the momentum of the infalling outer layers is not stopped when the now oxygen-rich core begins to fuse, because some of the light emitted during fusion is so energetic, it is spontaneously turning into matter. One electron and one positron, a matter and antimatter pair. This means that there is nothing pushing on the outer layers to stop them falling inwards. This causes a sudden burst of rapid oxygen fusion to occur, which is so violent it blows the entire star apart, leaving nothing behind. We have observed a number of these types of supernovae, the first back as early as the 90s at a range of different times after the Big Bang, starting about 8 billion years ago. Back in 2007, astronomers spotted a supernova explosion several days after it had reached its peak brightness, but they could still estimate that it was much brighter than any normal supernova. Quickly, it was proposed that it was a pair instability supernova, but there was a problem. It occurred only a billion years ago, essentially the present-day universe, a time when it should be impossible for the sort of supermassive metal-poor stars that caused these supernovae to form. Since then, at least two more supernovae have been seen. Perhaps one supermassive low-metal star may have formed in the recent universe, but multiple examples definitely should not be possible. Either our understanding of how metals are enriching the star-forming regions in the universe is wrong, or our understanding of what is causing the hypernovae is wrong. Last month, a team of researchers published in Nature an alternative mechanism for hypernovae, which would allow them to occur without the star needing to be large enough for a pair instability to form in the star's core. They propose that the nearby hypernovae can be explained by the collapse of metal-rich stars in the normal core collapse supernova event. How it works is that instead of a typical neutron star forming upon the death of a metal-rich star, instead the neutron star is imbued with an extremely powerful magnetic field from its parent star. This sort of neutron star is called a magnetar. The magnetar's magnetic field then acts to energize the entire supernova, pushing its peak brightness up to the same level as a pair instability supernova. When the researchers compared their models for a magnetar-based hypernova and the pair instability models with the data observed in 2007 and the other nearby hypernova, they found that the magnetar model agreed better. The two key observational points being that the peak brightness of the observations both rose and fell much faster than a pair instability supernova could. Although this means that the hypernovae nearby were not stars like those that formed in the first round of star formation at the cosmic dawn of the universe, we at least still can be sure that our current understanding of stellar evolution is correct. Of course, there are still several hypernovae that occurred at greater distances, earlier in the universe, that we have observed, therefore we still have examples of those very first stars to study.